It's Ron. How you doing?
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
So remind me, you're doing. If you want to do a film, right? I mean, brother, if you believe in yourself, I believe Beitar is going to change the world. I believe Beitar is going to save a lot of Jewish lives. And if you give us good propaganda, it helps. We don't pretend something different. You know, in other words, we are very proud of the work that we are doing. And I want that to be said again and again and again. And we say that as Americans. And I say that as an Israeli as well. In other words, you know, of course we want these bastards deported.
Yeah, that's great.
This is good. Good part of that.
Wild camera. You should see the bait sitting here.
I don't know. Wait,
I feel like this is how it starts.
What? I've done this shit before.
A little BTS, a little video action. How do we not know we're not being filmed by the ops right now?
By the ops? They could be
filmed. They're zooming in through the, you know?
They could
That's
be.
The shot. They zoom in through like the trees on us right now.
What's up? I'm Yoni Klutzel. Israeli-American comedian, content creator, social media director of Beitar Worldwide, right-wing Jew, amazing person, charitable, smart, good-looking, funny, also just like very, very generous, very, very generous. Love the Jewish people. I love the Jewish people. Too much, honestly, too much. More than they deserve. First of all, Beitar is a 100-year-old organization, which is really cool, right? 100 years of a legacy. One of the greatest Zionist organizations ever. Started by a man of Zev Jabotinsky, named after Yosef Trumpeldor, who said, Tov Lamud Ba'ad Artzeinu, it's good to die for our country. You know, it's really heroes of the Jewish people. People like it, but Beitar is really just about that. It's about strengthening the Jewish people, making us stronger, making us better, you know, pushing us to make Aliyah and just to be good Jews. Be good Jews and to be proud of our Jewishness. We're there where I feel like we're sort of like, first of all, we're an ideology, we're ideologically driven, but we're also sort of a vigilante force where you protect the Jews. Wherever it is, in the media we protect the Jews, on the streets we protect the Jews, we stand up for Jews, we push Jews to fight back and to, you know, we push Jews to fight back and just to protect themselves.
What does fight back truly mean?
Fight back? It depends. Whatever it is, they need, whatever it is, wherever Jews need to be protected, wherever Jews need to have a fight, we're there. I think Nazis are more just pure evil and want to kill all Jews, and Muslims sort of want to kill everybody. I mean, no, that's not good. Don't cut that. What's the difference? They're taking over Europe and they're taking over the whole world and they're doing all this and all that, and the mayor of New York City. But the fact is that in Israel, in one of their supposedly holy cities, in Jerusalem, sits in a Jewish government, not a Muslim government. And I think that's like, it really hurts. It's also like we're the Jews, we're the weakest, we're the most pathetic people, you know what I'm saying, historically. And the fact is that they can't take us out in this tiny part of land, in a tiny caliphate, in middle, with 6 million people live there, and we have complete control, and we're much more powerful than them, we're much stronger with them, and we're the weak, pathetic Jews. I think it really hurts them. I think it really plays like a role, like on their like Muslim like ego and pride, And I think it's like they want to kill us for more for those reasons. You know what I mean? I see a lot of these Jews who don't support Israel, but they're so obsessed with Israel. They think we're the worst and blah, 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 but they're so obsessed with the subject that it's like their Jewish soul is like yearning for it. You know what I mean? They're just stuck in this like confused state. But why is it, if I was a Jew and I didn't support Israel, would I make my whole identity trying to destroy Israel? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, either you fight for Israel or like whatever. Let them do what they want. Why is your why do you hate Israel so much? I think it's just it's the Jewish soul just yearns for the land because it's our ancestral homeland, you know? If you're Jewish, the Torah, everything Jewish talks about Israel, Zion, return to Israel, Tzion, Veshavtem Tzion. It says it in Shema, it says it in Jewish prayer. Every story from the Bible took place in this land, and they're just so obsessed with it. I think it's they're just confused.
No nukes for Iran!
Weapons!
Alright guys, go ahead, Yoni!
Hey, what's up everybody? How's it going? Thank you for coming!
Yeah!
Support is upon us.
I knew I sold pretzel balls.
Everyone out there.
It turns out the world only cares about war crimes when they only care about blowing up hospitals when it's not Israel. It's crazy, you guys saw that? Yeah, I tell BB, take off the gloves.
Tehran, yeah baby.
I'll be so high, you guys, this is historic. We live in historic times. It's scary.
Don't forget to save American people's lives.
And American people's lives.
Hey,
I recently saw that 79% of Americans don't want nukes in Iran. Get a no nukes for Iran, right?
No nukes for Iran!
No nukes for Iran!
No nukes for Iran!
Get a no nukes for Iran!
No nukes for Iran!
Down with the Ayatollah, out with Bibi Netanyahu!
Down with the Ayatollah!
Up with Bibi
Netanyahu!
More kebabs, less bombs.
Yes, all right. Tell Ty, everybody. Thank you.
First, I want to thank everybody for coming out. I think, you know, one of the things Jews have to remember is it's okay to rage in America. And Jews have forgotten that we can do more than send emails and sign petitions. That's where you're standing now in New York City, where Jews are not safe, where you might have a mayor tomorrow who supports a free Palestine, and our other options are not much better. And Israel is in a dark war that we're going to win, but there's damage, and it's hard, and it's difficult like any war, and it's important to be strong. It's important that we stand here, and we pray for the IDF, the great IDF. We have nothing to apologize for. You are not safe here. You should hear it. And you should listen to it, and you should heed it. You are not safe in New York as Jews. You should listen to it. The police, the government in New York City is not today on our side, and you must be very careful. And I say it to you as a student of Jewish history, as a student of the great Zev Jabotinsky, and as an American, and as a Jew, and as an Israeli, may we defeat this evil empire. And may we be strong and see better days for America and for Israel.
Yes, we will. Yes,
and we are happy today to have a human rights activist. Where is she? Thanks to me. She left.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, bomb, bomb. Bomb, bomb, bomb.
We don't have a big chance.
Right here, right here.
Sharif don't like it. Rock the Casbah! Rock the Casbah!
I don't know how it is.
Gotta get this for the man. He makes great TV.
I wear the F Palestine line. I'm trying to talk Palestine.
What?
Yeah. There she is.
anything from Obama is banger. The left, the media, and Islamists. That's your triad of terror and enemy.
New York City, wake the hell up. We don't want Sharia law. It's not about Israel. We're not. Israel is not a genocidal nation. Israel is a very, very friendly nation. But they screw up.
They would have used their nuclear weapons a long time ago.
Right. And Israel could have flattened Gaza, you know, October 9th, 10th, okay? It could have been gone. But they go door to door. These are diabolical creatures. Islam is not a religion. It's a cult of death and destruction. No Muslims can serve in our government. No Muslims can serve in our government.
Beitar means to me standing strong. It means being proud. It means defining yourself apart from the way that you're seen. I'm grateful to have connected with Beitar and grateful for everything that the Beitaris have held down and represented forever.
How do you guys think it went?
That was pretty good.
That was, you know, what's most important is that we came out and we were the first ones to come out on a very important issue. And, you know, one of the things we have to do is, you know, as we express anger, to show up. So we show up doing good. Decent turnout.
It's
important that somebody
raise their voice, which is important.
So.
Yeah, it's a dope shot, actually. Right there's a dope shot.
My name is Ron Tarosian. I am a 50-year-old American Israeli. I am the chairman of Beitar Worldwide, a movement I grew up in since the age of 11. These are. Can we just talk a little bit?
You could, get
you know, these are really historic times. It is. We're sitting here at a time in the world where Jews simply aren't safe. And I grew up in a home where my mother spoke every day about the Holocaust. We lost 80 family members and, of course, 6 million Jews. And I'm named after a great uncle who didn't survive. And my family's history is ripe with, you know, terrible Holocaust stories. And so I grew up in a home where my mother not only spoke about the Holocaust and what they did, but she also spoke about what we didn't do. And for me, that's been a mission that I think has driven me, you know, my entire life in many different things, is, you know, really realizing that Jews are hunted. And today we see it. And today, at the age of 50, in June 2025 in America, you see Jews just aren't safe. I live in Israel and I live in America. Spent a lot of time in Israel, spent a lot of time in America. I have homes in both places. And I was supposed to go back to Israel yesterday. And, you know, the reality is that they're bombing us now in Iran, and they're bombing us, and they're hitting us from Iran. And because they want us dead. And this is, you know, 18 months, 20 months after October 7th, and the same thing here in New York. And, you know, we're in really dark days. It's scary. It's a really scary time.
You know, it's amazing. Beitar got thrown off of Meta for making beeper jokes. Beitar made a joke about handing a beeper to a terrorist. The beepers, which are bought on eBay, which are, of course, legal, right?
You're offering to give to somebody who supports an illegal terrorist organization, who is probably in this country illegal, who is carrying weapons, and who openly wants to kill Jews.
Beepers in the street. It's, first of all, I started that, the beepers in the street. It's a funny thing. You just have, like, they certain, like, they come out with these red triangles and all these symbols to try to intimidate us and scare us. I think the beeper has the same effect on them. The fear, no, but not, it's, they know it's not a real beeper. They know it's not a real beeper. It's just, it's a troll. That's what it is. It's a massive troll, but it's also a troll that symbolizes one of... I used to say before, like a month ago, I used to say it's one of the greatest moments in Jewish history in the past 100 years.
I have a beeper for you. You have a beeper? I have a beeper for you, sir. Yeah. Would you like a beeper? I have a beeper for you. Now, why are you running away?
You want a beeper? Take a beeper! Beeper! Anybody?
Do you carry a beeper also? Do you carry a beeper? Do you carry a beeper with you?
And I think it's a troll. It's also a sense of Jewish pride. I mean, I see a beeper. There's a tremendous sense of Jewish pride now holding a beeper.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There are a lot of things said in the press that are true. There are a lot of things said in the press that aren't true. Our concern at Beitar isn't the press. Our concern at Beitar is truth and honor and Jewish pride and Jewish strength and what is good for our people. We can't discuss on camera too much about the specifics of a lot of different things, but of course, Beitar submits information to the government.
There's a group called Beitar that has told CBS that they have provided thousands of names to the Trump administration of visa holders and naturalized foreigners. Can you confirm whether that organization is providing lists to the Trump administration?
The Trump administration, I'm not involved in those decisions, and I certainly can't speak on them. Certainly the work that we're doing, whether it exists or not, I won't confirm.
I read that a federal judge ruled that Beitar was nearly solely responsible for the arrest of a jihadi. The only thing America should say to Beitar is thank you. The only thing that anybody should say to those who stand against terrorists is thank you.
People who support Hamas and terrorist organizations don't belong in America. Citizens are protected. They have certain rights. Citizens. I mean, I think you could do something legally against citizens. I'm not even advocating for that. And to support a terrorist organization, I don't think they should be here. I don't think it's safe to have them here. You know, these people could easily be sleeper cells waiting to await carrying out a terrorist attack. I think people who support dangerous terrorist organizations should definitely be deported for the safety of Americans. Not even just for the safety of Americans. They shouldn't be here. And that makes sense. And just like serial killers shouldn't be allowed in, people who are potential terrorists and believe in terrorist ideology don't belong here either.
On the streets of Atlanta, on the streets of New Orleans, on the streets of Dallas, on the streets of San Diego, on the streets of Boston, and on the streets of New Orleans, you have no place in this country. If you come from a Middle Eastern nation where you do not have freedoms, and you come to this country and you speak about intifada, and you speak about killing Jews, some of us won't be quiet. Some of us will stand up. And some of us will damn right say to the American government, they have no place here.
I think Khalil wrote a letter in jail blaming Beitar. I can't get into details exactly what that role is, but I think for sure there's a real role played by Beitar in deportations.
On just that one or kind of all of them?
At least many of them.
The spirit that we bring to New York that they don't understand, you know, these people, they can't fathom it. You know, there's a lot of layers behind this that, you know, I'm hesitant to speak of for reasons you can imagine. You know, it's, you know, but it's good we tell the story because people should understand more about us. And like this, we're going to educate them about it.
I want to be your Jewish uncle. I want to be your Jewish aunt. I want to be your Jewish brother. I want to be your Jewish sister.
But you guys really don't need to be doing all of that. Have you been keeping the other selfie? Okay. Hi, Amy. They just handcuffed him and took him. I don't know what to do.
You know, one of my biggest dreams for Beitar this year, I'll say in June 2025, is I hope by June 2026 we have a lot of Beitar marriages. I want more Beitar babies.
So excuse me. They're not talking to me. I don't know. Excuse me. The lawyer would like to speak to somebody. Oh, my God. They're literally running away from me.
Every decision that a Beit Tori makes needs to be based on one very simple concept. Is it good for the Jews? Is it good for the Jews?
Of course, one of our roles as we grow is to advocate for Jews to have weapons. Our people wear masks in the street because they are fighting in the streets to protect the Jewish people, and their neighbors want to kill them. So our job is to teach Jews it's okay to stand up. And as you wear a mask in Gaza when you're fighting in Little Gaza in parts of Paris. Jabotinsky wrote, "Only kind of children I have ever loved are mischief makers. Beitar are those mischief makers."
Free, free pagers! Free, free, free pagers! Yo, I got this rose paper! Give it to the swallow, you forgot it!
What is Masjid Nur al-Islam? How many 9-year-olds do they have in here? Stop fucking the children. Why did Muhammad suck so much dirt? Fuck Muhammad. Stop raping 9-year-olds. This is where the children come in. This is where the children come in. It's all, we're coming here right afterwards.
I'm a 50-year-old Jew these days, but I was once an angry young Jew. And I understand angry young Jews. And there is a place and a necessity for angry young Jews. And I'll also ask, why the hell aren't more Jews angry?
Arafat is a murderer. You can't stand with murderers. Hey. They kill our people. Shame on you.
Avi! Rabbi! You can't erase the Redskins!
Go, we don't want you. You're not part of our people. You're not part of our people.
You are not
part of our people. You are not part of the Jewish people.
I sent my daughter to a major university in the Northeast, and they decided there was a Zionist free zone. I walked there and I said, somebody has an issue with a Zionist. I'm a Zionist. No Zionists are allowed here. Here's a Zionist. One by one by one, I went to their faces. And terrorists.
You are a terrorist! Terrorist!
No, you're bad.
Terrorist! Terrorist! Terrorist!
Dude, get away
terrorist!
From get away from her.
Don't repeat my walking. Oh. Terrorist! 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 You're terrorist! Terrorist!
The police told me to leave, and I refused to leave. I won't leave. Why am I being asked to leave if there's 150... you know, Palestinians here with their faces covered? After that, I really decided it was time to restart Beitar. I decided it was time to restart Beitar because Jews weren't doing anything, because Jews are passive. And this is the Beitar movement today. Thank God this is the state of Israel, because it's the only difference that we see today. The only difference that the Jews of the world have today versus the Jews of the world the last time around is the state of Israel. And so this time around, the difference is they won't kill 6 million of us. They'll kill less because we have a Jewish state. But they'll kill many.
Jews have been hunted and hunted and hunted for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's okay to have some sort of survival instinct. I'm a Jew. I've been through so much. We've been through so much. We don't want to die. We don't want to be extinct. We want to live as Jews. We want to prosper. And it's fully okay. And it's within our right to protect ourselves and prevent attacks from people who openly want to kill us.
Who are you to judge us? You who put nails in the coffins of our kids. You who raped us in Kibbutz Be'eri. You who beat us in the streets of New York have nothing to say to us. Because we are the good.
It is very simple. Come home to Israel. Please, please, please come home to Israel, because it's going to be another Holocaust here. These Muslims, you know, we don't know what they're going to do. This could be the Hitler of the modern day era, you know. That's such a crazy thing to think.
40 months ago, they really killed us, right? October 7th, they raped us, and they mutilated us, and they kidnapped us, and they did horrible things. In our tiny country, we're going to fight back, whether this president or that president or the United Nations or the League of Nations likes it or not. That's it. And among Beitar's many roles all over the world, it's just stand up. Just try and be good Jews. The great Zev Jabotinsky spoke about the tree in terms of what his movement needs to look like. Beitar was always the ideological branch of the tree. The Likud party today is essentially the modern-day Jabotinsky movement. Beitar has traditionally been the youth movement of the Likud.
Is a cancer in our midst. And you don't coexist with a cancer. A cancer you either cut out and throw out, or you die.
Back in the 60s, this 53-year-old rabbi founded the JDL in the United States, a group that used tactics of violence and confrontation in defense of Jews. 13 years ago, he moved to Israel, where he now crusades to throw all Arabs out of that country.
Violence is a terrible thing, but sometimes it's terribly necessary.
Of course, I respect the Arab. I want to throw him out.
You fucking do a 10-minute video of Kahana. They've never heard him speak. Kahana was the most amazing speaker. And he was so smart, and he was so right. At the end of the day, we can't live with them. And it's painful to say it, but you can't live with them. Finished. It's over. It's done. You can't live with them.
The murder of Rabbi Meir Kahana was a dark night in the history of the Jewish people. But just as the sun sets, so does it rise. Binyamin Ze'ev Kahana, the devoted son of Rabbi Meir Kahana, has stepped forward to continue the work of his father through Kahana Chai.
He is the campus coordinator of Kahana Chai, Mr. Ben Israel.
Friends, we are gathered here today for the fourth year that we have not had the greatest Jewish leader ever, Rabbi Meir Kahana. Kahana Chai, Kahana lives on. Kahana lives on. This madness cannot continue. Please write your checks to Kahana Chai. The only solution, as Binyamin said, is a Kahana revolution.
We out here. Who was right, Kahana?
Kahana was right.
Kahana was right! 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 Kahana was right!
Wanna be a lover! Wanna be a lover! Wanna be a lover! Not just be a friend! Wanna be a lover! Wanna be a lover! Wanna be a lover! Not just be a friend!
I have the flag, and I also have the katana for the Palestinians. I've been profiling a lot of Palestinians. I have gone to the places. One is a mechanic, the other one is a restaurant owner, the other one has gas stations.
Pro-Israel Jews are better than anti-Israel people. Like, we are just better than them.
I think that one of the most important things that we've done is just our voice forces the rest of the community to act differently. You know, I would tell you, even something like Ben-Gvir, when he came to the United States, I think our trip made it easier. I think, you know, the concept of fighting back was so off the map. I think, I like to think we've become a loud voice pretty quickly.
Only a shout can enter the brain. We're screaming. We're yelling. In pain and in anger. Yoni and I met each other a year and a half ago when he was handing out beepers outside of Grand Central. Very brave to walk around and say to them, you are terrorists.
The one thing, the really cool thing about what we do in Beitar is that we're really helping people wake up. This is a movement, like Ron said, it's like a 100-year-old movement started by Zbigniew Wodzinski 100 years ago. And we are he's trying to fight and preserve his message of Jews fighting back, Jews standing strong, and Jews making Aliyah.
Is that an illegal outpost at this point?
It basically what happened was it was like some Arab shepherds were trying to take this hilltop over, so we're here to make sure they don't.
I've lived on a giva, like on a hilltop between Jenin and Jordan, which is an area where a lot of like Bedouins and Arabs try to take over. And we lived on a hill. We protected it. We did guard duty there at night.
What does that mean?
You know, throughout the whole night, we do shifts and do guard duty in the literal sense.
But what is guard duty? I mean, what?
You sit and you wait for something to happen. Nothing ever happened on my shift.
We are in the midst of a war that is changing every single border, every single inch, every single dunam is exactly this. This is outpost that if you take that hill and we take it over and we get plumbing there, it stays Jewish. And if not, it becomes Arab.
Well, I think Israel's getting crushed right now in PR. They're getting crushed right now in PR. I think what's going to help us is really a total, complete victory. That's what we need. We need to win, completely and totally win. No surrendering. Surrendering, yes. Full and complete surrender from the enemy is what we need. Because I think winning is always good. You know, people like winners. People will cheer on winners. People want to be on the winning team. I think that's what Israel needs right now. It's just a total and complete, utter victory to the fullest.
PR has been a major part of, you know, every battle for the Jews. And we are in a battle for the Jews. And Beitar is going to be in the center of the room in the fight for the Jewish people. This is the time of war and Beitar is there. And dude, we're the only ones in the streets. It's the most amazing thing.
At 5W, we do things differently. 5W is who, what, when, where, why. It's the fundamentals of communication. 5W PR is a top 20 independently owned PR firm in the heart of New York City. Our clients range from
and being really smart is about to translate for Jeremy Lin into something it's not clear he ever imagined. Not just money, but lots of money. Lots and lots of money.
Jeremy Lin, if he continues to perform on the court, has the potential to be bigger than Tiger Woods pre-scandal.
I am inside the room. Anybody criticizes me on Eric Adams or Richie Torres, I am both of their biggest donors. It's public record. Have you followed this?
Let's be clear. My story is your story. You know, my story is your story. Dyslexic, arrested, rejected, now I'm elected.
There you go.
You know, sitting in a city that I know very well, that I grew up in, that I was involved with the mayoral race last time around. Very involved. I hosted Eric Adams' victory party the night he was elected.
They give me shit about it. Listen, I was the biggest fucking guy to Eric Adams from minute one. I want you to be good to Israel and good to business. Okay? That's called democracy.
You can look it up. I am Richie Torres' biggest fundraiser. Richie Torres, the great Democratic leader of the Democratic.
My name is Richie Torres. One of my local rabbis calls me Richie Torah.
He returned my money. You know, I returned my money. And I told him I don't believe in the two-state solution. And because he told me about, you know, the radical Likud party, the American government and nobody has the right to tell the Jewish people and the state of Israel how we should decide and what we should do. We remember what they've done to our families, and that we remember throughout history as Jews, whether we are Russian or Polish or Spanish or from wherever we are as Jews, we remember what they've done to us, and they a collective.
This is the ball of Tiger Woods. Lanny, what about this?
Burn, this is extremely difficult. This is one of the toughest pitches on the entire place here.
Comes. Oh my goodness.
Good for the Jews. That's the decision that should be made. So when somebody asked us about, you know, immigration in the United States, well, when you have mass terrorists running around multiple cities, when you have college campuses being decimated by Free Palestine, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that these people and Western values don't go together.
I'm 21 years old and Jewish. Apparently 48% of my peers want people like me dead.
I do not feel safe. Let me be clear. I do not feel safe.
As a Beit Ori, I want to send 2, 3, 4 good Jews or locals to come and give you a hug.
I am a Jewish student currently immersed in an extremely toxic anti-Semitic atmosphere at MIT.
I believe 100 out of 100 Jews would not be surprised if there was a terrorist attack tomorrow in New York, LA, Chicago, Denver, pick the city, Paris, London.
How do we be Jews in this moment, in this historical moment?
Where are the Jews? Where are they? Where are they?
I am at the Palestine Convention. Most, if not all, of what they seem to want to talk about is Israel.
And the media have been conquered. They've been bought.
It is not about Jews. It is never about Jews. It is about everyone else.
In times of trouble, we turn to family. And I'm afraid, indeed, these are troubling times.
Columbia University can't be fixed. If you are a Jew who sends your kid to Columbia University, you need your head examined.
Joining me now is Rabbi Marianne Novak, mother of a Jewish student attending Columbia University.
Period. End of story. Done. Because if your child is beaten, nobody will be surprised. And if it's all, we're not going to help them at Columbia, because I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked. What are you doing there?
We've gathered a group of Columbia students to talk about what's unfolding. Today, we want to have the full conversation. What are you seeing? What does it mean? And what do you want to do about it?
This is an insanity. But again, you know, rather than saying it's an insanity, which I don't really believe anymore, it's sanity. Because the people making the decision in that room hate Jews.
I've seen firsthand the devastating impact of anti-Semitism on our community. I also understand the pain of having our institution labeled this way. But that doesn't mean we should shy away from addressing a very real problem. Let me be clear. Columbia unequivocally rejects anti-Semitism and all other forms of harassment and discrimination.
One other critical component for women in terms of confidence is authenticity.
Because today, they're openly driving us out of Harvard and out of Columbia. And they're openly committing hate crimes, and they're doing this and doing that. I'm tired of kvetching about it. You know, Beitar's role is to do everything we can to protect the Jews. Yes, deporting bastards. And yes, standing up to them. And there's many groups that have to do it. We hope that many, many groups will do it. And we're not going to apologize.
Okay, we're just going to look at Columbia now.
Yes. Today was my first day at Columbia University. Yes, that's right. Your boy is going to college.
For all the Jews who said never again and never again and never again, you know, I talk about the Museum of the Future Holocaust. Hey, they told you in the streets they're going to burn you. They told you they're going to send you back to Auschwitz. They started to launch bombs at you. It happened. And it happened October 7th. And it happened in the 1940s. And could happen today again. That in 42 years from now, you'll wake up and you'll say, wow, in the year 2027 in America, 182 Jews were hung from lampposts on Lexington Avenue and 68th Street. That won't surprise me.
Let me ask the college and university leaders this first question. I'd like you to define Semitism, or define anti-Semitism.
Could you define anti-Semitism?
Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Columbia's code of conduct?
Is the destruction of Israel something Georgetown would support?
You support Hamas, do you not?
Could you give us your reasons as to why that is true in Pennsylvania, why today a Jewish student is afraid to walk to the library at night?
Why do you believe anti-Semitism is so pervasive at Berkeley?
Columbia has shown through its choices on faculty and, of course, offerings that you don't care about anti-Semitism.
Shouldn't we be deporting these students? A student being blocked from entering your campus based on his Jewish identity?
You support Hezbollah, too, don't you?
Do you believe the Jews are responsible for COVID?
You better make this good, man. We haven't done this with anybody. They all fucking call us. Right? You know what I mean? CNN, Barnard, everybody. Because they'll kill us. You know, I can't talk to them like this. They'll kill us.
Do you think the Israeli government is paying attention to what's going on college campuses? Because I've heard about Project Esther.
We're involved with Project Esther. Really? It's been reported we're involved with Project Esther. I will confirm that we're involved with Project Esther.
Yes.
Can you talk about Beitar's role in Project Esther at all?
I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
I think we can give you a sneak peek. Here are the four people we think will next be deported. By the way, those do so well. And by the way, I think I'm able to get it done. In other words, we're speaking to the right people in Israel, and we're speaking to the right people in America. That's it.
All over the United States, I mean, there's protests in cities. Jews are getting harassed. Jews are getting hurt. And I actually think in New York, I mean, New York's a huge city. I think Beitar actually had a great presence in New York where you actually see less of it. You know what I mean? Jihadis know when they come out to protest outside of a synagogue, they know they're going to be met. They know it's going to be dangerous for them too.
One of the things that I think Beitar has reminded world Jewry of is we have a right to stand up. I read all over the place about fascism. Excuse me, do we not have the right to free speech? Do American Jews today not have the right to say to the American government, we think this guy doesn't belong here? We're not pulling the trigger. We're not making the decisions. Anybody has the right to speak out. But, you know, the problem is, in a time of war, some things are not about talking.
They're coming after me. Come after me all you want. You understand? I have a 50,000-page FBI file. I am a Zionist my entire life. There's nothing I'm afraid from any of you. I'm handing beepers out in the streets because you are terrorists.
Beitar's role is and always has been to stand up, to have a backbone, to remember that we're the greatest people in the world. To remember that we are the kings and queens that the Torah wrote about. To remember that where we are where it all began.
Can we get a name, please? Can we get your name? I understand the lawyer is asking for your name. The lawyer is asking for your name. He's saying they don't give their names.
Is Canary Mission not associated, but are they a reference point, or are they
I think there are many organizations and many groups upset and concerned. What I can tell you about Canary Mission is they're not funded by Qatar. What I can tell you about Canary Mission is they are, I believe, people very concerned about the West. I believe people very concerned about the state of Israel and the state of the Jews, and people probably need a lot more money. I, of course, wish Canary Mission a lot of success in their work, and I hope there'll be many more Canary Missions.
State of Israel wouldn't exist without Beitar. State of Israel would not exist without our movement, would not exist. The modern-day army came because of Jabotinsky.
You know, today as we're filming this, very dangerous man running for mayor of New York, and 20-30% of the Jews didn't vote for him. Not only did he just speak in B'nai Jeshurun, not only did he just speak there, that's sickening. You know what's also just as sickening? How the hell did 500 Jews sit through it and not get thrown out? How did not one of them stand up and scream?
Mamdani gets elected in New York. I think it's time to leave the city, honestly. He's going to push Muslims in, try to get Jews out. And I think it would be a very, very sad and dark day for New York City if Mamdani becomes mayor. Like, at some point, Beitar does just say, Jews, you have to get out. That's what they did in Poland in the 1940s. Jabotinsky went all over Europe telling people, like, listen, like, it's like, the fight's up, leave, it's up, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying we're there right now in New York, but I think if Mamdani becomes mayor, that might be the situation.
Somebody just called on the NYPD. NYPD had just lost a hate crime investigation. The allegations of a man threatened to blow up Zohran Mamdani. He told him, check your beat, we're tuning terrorists. Drop BP. I don't want to say that, I can't be honest. If they say it now, I'm reading comments, it's likely to be Beitar.
What?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to blame us.
They should.
I mean, they're going to give you a fucking rent.
So it's like, check your fucking beat with BP? Yeah, also, you fucking did it to Gutierrez.
You're right, why? You think that's
what it is? So different. What they're doing to John or not is so different what you did to Gutierrez.
He's right. Well, yeah, we'll be there. After 6 weeks,
what? The check there was sorrow. Look at that. And the black took over the car. I don't want to take 6 weeks.
What are we doing, boss? We're waiting for you. Hi, so Ron Tarosi, I'm the CEO of 5WPR. And I want to talk today about video content. Really a part and parcel of content creation. And video, of course, is one of the fastest growing means of communications, including the PR industry. Why is that? It's because you can control the story. That's it. I think we're done for today. It's enough,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Spoke a long time.
I'm good.
Got a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
That was great.
That was good, right?
No, you're great.
Right.
Yeah.
You
killed
it.
Media doesn't matter as much. You know, maybe the media war was winnable a year ago. I think it's much, much, much harder to win today. It's a different paradigm. The world has changed. The grand scheme of things, I don't know. Are we winning in PR at all? I don't think we are.
You don't think the media war is winnable?
No, I don't.